Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I like sucking.
Come on, man.
Legit bad podcast.
He has a legit bad.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Welcome to Legit Bat.
Hey.
We're testing sound stuff.
Yeah, as usual.
Thanks to everybody who's joining live. We have Matt Landman on tonight of Franken Skies. Yeah, can you turn that off? There we go. I don't think it's picking up anyway. It's so weird to not hear the intro. I'm so used to like being brought in by the music.
But, whatever. They all did. It's all good.
Hello to everyone in the chat. Everybody on the audio feed, if you want to catch our Rockfin video shows, come to rockfin.com/legitbat. I was going to mention our stupid shitty one-star review, but fuck that guy. I don't want to give him any time.
It's just one.
But anyway, how's it going, Matt? How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I'm in the back end of a heat wave, so even like mid-90s is awesome right now, so I'm excited.
Hey, I feel you. We're right there with you.
It was just 100 today, and we're like, ooh, it's so cool out. What a
nice
day.
Yeah, it's cooling off. All right.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally
shit.
Get it.
Knocking the shit around.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to just ask him about how we got involved in this weird shit. I mean, Franken Skies, we haven't done, it, surprisingly, in a whole year, I don't think we've done a show dedicated to chemtrails and things like that. So I am stoked to hear what your take is on all this shit.
For sure. And then you were probably going to say, Ben, about the heat wave of a Memorial Day, how drastic it was on the holiday, huh?
That was exactly what I was going to say. You fucking telepathic genius, you. It was basically for, I believe, 5 or 6 days straight. We broke a record every day that week. I think the oldest one that we broke was all the way back in 1912.
Yeah, that is a story in it. Of itself, I could talk about how that the manipulation of the jet stream created what's called it's called a once in a thousand years omega jet stream pattern because it's unreal. So, we're gonna go. That's like jumping from kindergarten all the way to like PhD
okay.
level. But what there's like these heaters. There's these ionospheric heaters things. They're called they try to pretend like they're next rad Doppler radar, and they put them on the side of mountains. But really, they're used instead of to predict the weather to make the weather. And where I live in the Rogue River Valley in Ashland, Oregon, we had the same heat wave. And right when they installed this new technology in the local NEXRAD, it was public news. And the next day, the heat wave hit. It was 115 degrees. We never get stuff like that. And what they did is created a big high pressure system and then trapped it with the jet stream, like looping around it like a knot, which is like unreal. It never happens. But how did I get into it? And yes, I'm the chemtrail guy, but I'm not just that. An activist wears many hats. And so if you check out my website, one of my sites, actualactivists.com, it's almost all of the truth that I could possibly drop. It's got like a fluoride section, a chemtrail section, a vaccine section. And I guess I don't have to censor my words on this.
No, not at all.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just lost my YouTube channel. It's pretty devastating. So I'll bounce around words. I'm now socially engineered. Just even in public, I'm like, wait, what am I talking about? So everybody's like the word, it's crazy. It's like I'm all sensitive. And even I did a Facebook Live video the other day, and then I accidentally said one word, and then it had this whole COVID warning on the Facebook Live, and like nobody saw it. So just because of one
once
word.
You're on the radar. Yeah, once you're on the radar, you're on the radar, and they will tag you for fucking everything.
Yeah, it's unreal. So I'm a normal dude, and I started off in Virginia as a adolescent, and I went to Virginia Tech, and I had a bunch of different jobs and restaurants and mortgages and real estate. And I mean, I sat down and wrote them all out. It was like 45 different jobs, all different walks of life, just trying to find my place in the world. And I found myself in Northern California at Humboldt State University, getting my master's degree in business, which is not too far from you guys. And there I learned about weather modification. After I got out of film school, which I always wanted to go to film school, but there's no film school in Virginia. So ultimately I made it to California, and finally I went back to school for business, but piggybacked the film, and I got a master's in business administration, focus in strategic sustainability. And I basically got a film degree with all the film classes I took while I was getting the MBA. And then afterwards I worked another crap office job as a finance analyst. And then after a year that I learned, finally, I didn't want to be in an office, you know, and where I lived was rural, beautiful, pristine, you know, gorgeous Northern California on the ocean. And I was in an office all day long, you know, it's just not, it doesn't compute. Like, humans are not meant to be.
It's quite the duality.
Yeah, it's unreal. So I got an opportunity to work on an actual organic farm. We grew potatoes and onions and squash and corn and all sorts of awesome stuff. And where the farm was located was pretty much on the ocean. I could hear the waves crashing. And I learned about dry farming. I learned so much. And I say this on like all my shows, but this is actually so pertinent because someone out there would be like, whoa, wow, I didn't really put that two and two together. I thought I knew everything. Okay. I was like 35. I'm 40 now. I was like 34 years old. And I thought I knew everything. And I'm working like my 45th job. I'm going to get grounded and going to get in shape and work on this farm and get free food. Day one, I learned potatoes grew potatoes. And I shit you not, it like blew my mind wide open. I'm like, wait a second. You just put the potato in the ground and it grows a shit ton of potatoes? Like, they were trying to grow under my sink and everyone's like, oh, gross, throw it away. And then it's probably growing in the trash can, like out back, you know? And like, no one ever told me during all of my education. I mean, like, I paid for all this fucking education and stuff, like out of high school. But even still, like, as an 8-year-old, I should have known the potato goes in the ground and it grows a bunch of potatoes. And nobody even knows this. Potatoes grow potatoes. So that, I started to go there. And then I learned about all these different varieties of different, like a lemon has all these different varieties. These things that I never knew through my indoctrination process. And I learned I knew nothing. And then I witnessed weather engineering firsthand, like right in front of my face. And I thought I was like cool because I knew about 9/11 and this and had seen the movie Zeitgeist and stuff. But literally right in front of my face, I witnessed like a huge storm being quelled. So I was working on the farm and we were supposed to get a week of rain. And it said 100% chance of rain for a week. And we're in the midst of this drought, 5-year drought California was in at the time around 2014, actually. So at that time, we were like at the tail end of this really long catastrophic drought. And I'm sure you guys know of farmers who lost their ass or something. Cause it's just like, it was it's a consolidation effort of small farmers. And in Reading, I mean, like, who gets water, who doesn't is really something nowadays. And the water, for those of you that don't know, it's been commoditized. It's now being traded on the market, just like oil and timber and whatever. It's like, if you can control the weather, you really are ahead of the game because you can predict the futures market and basically predict like what stocks are going to do. It's like
insider trading for weather. Yeah,
exactly.
You can predict everything. You could predict when people are tourists. You could predict literally everything if you had that kind of engineering power.
Yeah, it's unreal. So once you watch Frankenskies, you start to learn, like, the movie starts in the 1920s and it goes through the chronological historical timeline of weather engineering, weather modification history. Once you get to like modern day or even the 1960s, it's self-evident that if we need rain, we can make it rain. And when they're talking about drought and all this nonsense, like, they can quell hurricanes or exacerbate them. And the technology's been there for, well, a century now. So either way, this is kind of important. I was on this farm and I witnessed a huge storm being quelled. all these planes showed up out of the clear blue sky, no pun intended. They gridded the sky with these persistent linear cirrus cloud formations coming out of the back of the jets, which was also abnormal. I witnessed it. I saw it. I saw literally 20 jets showing up on the edge of the storm. And this, the storm came, big black clouds, no rain came out. And I was just happy I wasn't getting rained on, you know? And I tabled or shelved the memory. A few months later, I'm venting to a buddy back home about the kids nowadays, they don't know about 9/11. And it's actually an interesting point when you bring up these truth things like 9/11, historical things. You bring it up to a 20-year-old that wasn't even born. They say, well, I've heard both sides of the story. And it's literally their access to information on the internet. There's both sides of the story right there. And who are they to believe? Like, you know, it's kind of hard. And I see where they're coming from. And we were just kind of shooting the shit about that. And he goes, well, what about chemtrails, man? That's right in people's face. And I was like, what's that? You know? And that's the power of planting the seed in your voice. Because now I'm like, the chemtrail dude, I'm hosting conferences and all this stuff. Because I went and I looked it up and I was like, oh, shit, I saw that. And then I started seeing that the activists out there, like, I didn't think that they were, I didn't think it was being given its due service to humanity. Like, so many people didn't even know that there was weather engineering or chemtrails. And a lot of people that knew of the word chemtrails or knew of the topic, they knew of it just knowing that it was bullshit and nonsense. And so I'm like, oh, wow.
A conspiracy.
So not only do people not know about this, but the people that do know about this think it's nonsense. And I really wanted to bring some like grounded information to it. And that's been my journey. And then as my journey developed, I started getting into 5G and EMF protection and all this other stuff and what have you. But yeah, what about y'all? I'm stoked that you guys are so close and that you're going and that Reading is so cool with the masks and stuff. Like a lot of people that I know and it's interesting in Northern California, you've got counties. So over in Humboldt, they're totally like a blue county and they're just masked up. But you go one county, Trinity.
Oh, yeah.
Trinity County or over where you guys are at. And it's a totally different world. It's like Northern California has these little pockets of idiots. And then the rest of them are like, dude, I wouldn't wear a mask. I'm not stupid. But it's like, I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion, but it's fascinating.
No, that's true.
No, you're right.
That's how it is.
No, you're right.
Yeah. It's fascinating the way it's panning out over there. And, you know, state of Jefferson all the way for me.
Dude, yeah. I almost wore my State of Jefferson hat tonight too. Shit,
that would have been cool.
No, yeah, it's way better over here as far as the COVID shit goes. From what I've heard from other parts of the country, because, you said, over in Humboldt, we went over there in February and it was awful. I went into a gas station. I think I told the story, but I went into a gas station for like 5 minutes to pull money out of an ATM, and the guy was like on me, like, "You need to put your mask on over your nose." I'm like, "Dude, I'm getting money out of the ATM." Like, fuck off. I had to go back out to the car to get one and go back in to be in there for 5 seconds. I'm like,
and you would think they'd be cool. I mean, it's always been such a cool area, but now liberal does not mean cool. And it's really interesting how it's been hijacked because like, it's been so creative how they have hijacked the polarity. And it's like, either you're a Trump supporter or you're this. And if you're this, you're that. And if you're that, you're this. And it's like,
well,
hold on. You can't define us so easily. It's like, just because I believe in breathing easily and freely and breathing air does not mean that I necessarily agree with, you know, some political ideologies of this, you know.
Well, it's gotten so bad where now, even if you hate both sides of the political spectrum, for some reason, that makes you a Trump supporter, too, because then you're a conspiracy theorist. Therefore, you must back Trump and Q and everything. It's like, what?
Right. It's if you don't buy into one of the two major lies, then you're a nut job, because that's how that works. It's also gotten to a point where you're not allowed to have free thought, because you either have to be in one of those two boxes to be an American citizen. If you're not, again, you're a nut job, or you're just still, you know, filed in with the Trumpists. But what I keep seeing is people that have been longstanding liberals, people like Piers Morgan and Bill Maher, who end up sounding more conservative than I've ever heard them, because they're old school. They end up seeing what all of this push is on both sides, the alt-right and the progressive left, and they've seen it and they go, I was considered a bleeding heart in my day, and you guys are fucked up.
Yeah, I think that it's the polarization of everything. So we live in like this dualistic, like polarized world, like left, right, black, white, and all these things. But the problem is they polarize things that are both totally screwed. So they'll say, oh, and they'll get you deep into a lie and then polarize something. And we're so used to things yeah. being left-right paradigm. We're like, oh, I get to choose one of those two things. Which one am I going to choose? So they do it with global warming. They say, oh, global warming's really bad. Should we do geoengineering? Yes or no? And then that's like, and then people are like, well, what's geoengineering? And then they explain, it's like spraying chemtrails, dude, is what it is. But it's the spraying of atmospheric aerosols, maybe aluminum, to dim the sun's rays to, so that the evil sun doesn't heat us as bad as it is. Because you know that heat wave you had last week? You know, we don't want you to get any more of those heat waves, right? But the heat waves are caused by the engineering that's already going down, the geoengineering. You know, they jump a step further into the lie and say, which one of these paradigms do you agree with? It's totally nuts.
Yeah, that's the problem I've always had.
Textbook
yeah.
Hegelian dialectic.
That's the problem I've always had with voting, is that it's an illusion of choice, because they're like, here's these two people that we literally selected. So we know what it doesn't matter what the outcome is between those two, because they've already been, you know, primed to be in these positions.
Right. Freedom is actual freedom. We have the illusion of choice here. It's the same thing with what you just described, with them engineering it and then coming out with a reason why they should have something to stop the engineering that they've already been doing. It's that same, create a problem and then offer a solution like they're the savior. They do it with everything. They create a problem and then they go, hold on, guys, we know how to fix this. Here's our plan. And if you don't get on board with it, then you're an asshole, because you should be on board with fixing problems in our country.
It shouldn't be
selfish.
But at
the same time, they're the ones that fucking created it.
Isn't fucking that stupid. The truth? One thing that I noticed about the Trump administration is it brought out all these demons in everybody. I lived in Canada. I lived in Canada, right, in Vancouver, Canada, which is an interesting place to live during the Trump election. But I was like in a remote island community outside of Vancouver, the city at the time. And literally in front of like the only little coffee shop in town, there's women holding signs, Trump grabbed a vagina, you know, I'm not gonna say so. And I want to know, like already it was like this polarization. It's like, okay, well, if you're with Trump, you're sexist, you know. Yep. And then it was the wall, then it was the wall and all that. And then it's like, if you're with Trump, you're racist. And then if you're with Trump, you're like pro guns, which is like, come on, we can't let them take our guns. So now I'm over here and I'm a racist, freaking sexist all of a sudden because they can't take my guns. And it's already like this mind fuck. It's totally nuts. And it's, I mean, it's pretty hard. And I don't even know like where I would stand if I was like a woman or a Latino or whatever. I mean, I could see through it all. It's just tough. The whole thing is really hard. And then you try to talk some sense into your neighbor. And actually, at the end of the day, the Trumpers are like the hardcore Christians. I live next door to hardcore Christians, okay? And they are actually more on the page than anybody else of me. They're under my vibe more than definitely the hardcore liberals. But they were the environmentalists. So these environmentalists, I don't know if you know about, you guys had some gnarly, the car fire and whatnot down there. We had this.
Oh, yeah.
Paradise, you know, that's something to talk about. But we had here what's called the Alameda Fire. About 2,200 low-income homes just went up in smoke about 10 months ago. It was a Monday afternoon, and all of the fire hydrants stopped working. And all Jesus. These homes just like boom, 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 boom down the line. All the trailer parks, I'll do a video on it soon and put it on my Facebook account. But the trailer parks are just still, after 10 months, they're untouched. Like the low income people just kind of getting pushed out of town. There's an agenda at play. But the fires alone, where am I going with this one? Well, firstly, the fires alone are part of this like global warming agenda, this problem reaction solution. And they want to tell us, even though there's arsonists doing it, they want to tell us that it's global warming. Like these ones in town, they were actually arsonists. And everyone knows, and it was like public information, but the global spin is that it's global warming and we need to do something about it. And what are we going to do? Right. The fires alone, like pose this, they create this scenario of this polarity, or what are we going to do about the fires? It's like, wait, you guys lit the fires. You geoengineered lightning storms. You had arsonists light the fires. And the solution is geoengineering. Guess what? You can engineer rainstorms and do the opposite of what you did to make the problems in the first place. And it gets just down this crazy.
That's my point of creating the problem so that they can also create the solution. And if you're not on board with the solution, you're an asshole. It's like, but you guys, we didn't have a problem until you guys made the problem. So I'm not on board with either one. Is that an option? No,
they're just
no,
trying to play God like every other fucking aspect in life. Just, you know, trying to control everything, control everyone. What? How did you get into like the specifics of chemtrails, though? Because it's, I'm always interested in it because I see it all the time here. And we were actually talking in the Discord about it the other day because I came out and it was a perfectly clear day and there was zero trails. And my point was that there, if they're, you know, they TM are saying that it's contrails and that they happen all the time. Why are they not? Was there zero air traffic that day? Like there were just no planes.
That's the best one for bringing it to people's awareness, because nobody likes to be schooled and get their ego all offended and whatnot by you telling them that those lines in the sky are actually chemicals. They already have in their head that conspiracy theorists are so crazy to think that they're being poisoned, and it's not necessarily that. It's weather engineering, man. It's causing drought and like long-term agenda kind of stuff, but people can't wrap their heads around it. So I say this in all of my presentations. I go, dude, forget that. That's fear-based. People are going to dismantle it and be afraid of it and ignore you and ignore those lines in the sky, even though it's right in their face. Bring up those beautiful blue days with the white fluffy clouds with no planes. Yeah. There's no air traffic. And if there is air traffic, there's nothing coming out the back of those jets on those days. And just bring those beautiful days to the people's attention. And then the abnormalities and the irregular air traffic patterns and the irregular occurrences of, I mean, when there's this orchestra of stuff going on in the sky and there's all these planes zigzagging back and forth, maybe on a storm front, they're leaving lines, short ones, ones, long ones. They're mixing together. There's all this stuff going on. And when there's not a lot of stuff going on, the air traffic is actually sparse and they're not leaving lines. And it starts to become, you know, self-evident. Why did I get into chemtrails out of all things? It was kind of like a spiritual journey. At first, I gave them the benefit of the doubt. Like I had this whole thing where I was going around passing out flyers, and then people were like, well, how do you know? I heard they're actually protecting us from good aliens. And I heard, have you heard of the grand solar minimum and all this nonsense about like, it's actually probably good and all this. And it took me years to like realize that there's actually evil on Earth, like on Earth or whatever. Like it's kind of like a spiritual journey for me. And then when I stopped giving them the benefit of the doubt, I was like, yo, somebody really needs to bring some awareness to this. And I started like gung-ho with it. And I started bringing these people together, these conferences of chemtrail, conspiratorial, whatever. They're activists in the space. And a lot of them ended up being like totally controlled. Like, I don't know who they were, but they weren't who they claimed to be. And then it got really wild. And I started like really learning that the reason why no one knows about it is because it's been very diabolically and strategically controlled through the predictive programming, the movies, even the movie Geostorm, through plants in major cities, like acting like crazy people and then having pictures of chemtrails and being like, ah, these are like controlled people to control the narrative. And it gets really deep, actually. For instance, right before 9/11, 2001, the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, this is a chemtrail program, was launched publicly, hidden in plain sight, and it's through the Department of Energy. Okay, and if you want to find a document, this document will blow your mind. Tropospheric Aerosol Program, Department of Energy, TAPDOE, it's a PDF, and it outlines a full-on agenda to control clouds, and why does the Department of Energy want to spray different clouds and make fake clouds over cities and whatnot. I think it's because they don't want solar power to proliferate. You know, this is dirty energy, coal and dirty oil and what have you. And also they need something somewhere to dispose of their coal fly ash, like the dirty soot that burns in the coal burning power plants. They're supposed to dispose of it because it's not supposed to go in the atmosphere through the coal burning power plants. So they take it and put it in planes and spray it in our sky.
So they're just using the sky as a garbage can, just kind of like, oh, we can just throw it up there.
Well, that's one aspect. That's just one little aspect of it. And they have like extrapolated budgets going on every single year and drones and planes and all this stuff. It's like amazing. And that's just one little program in the whole big picture. So NASA also has a program. It's called CARE, C-A-R-E, the Charged Aerosol Release Experiment. They have drones, they have planes, they have helicopters spraying aluminum, barium, and strontium. It's public information. NASA has a budget of $52 million a day. NASA has a budget of $52 million a day, and they have a chemtrail program with basically unlimited access. Yeah, per day. It's unreal. And our taxpaying money go into this $50 million bucks a day so they can spray us with, quote, noctilucent clouds. They use aluminum, barium, and strontium. They mix them in the atmosphere. They publicly say they're doing it. They have a fleet of all these planes and drones spraying them. They have patents going back to the 70s of barium release rockets that mix and all this stuff. And once you really start to see through the lens and see what's going on in your skies, that's like one of the biggest culprits right there is NASA messing with it. And then there's the fires. Okay, well, what's in these trees from these spraying programs? Aluminum oxide, patented fire accelerant. There's a patented fire accelerant being sprayed in our skies, on our trees, and they're reverse engineering it in a way. I mean, they've been doing it, but they claim they haven't been doing it. But this is the constituent that they want to spray in our skies. They were going to do this big experiment in Tucson and dim the sky with aluminum. And I had a big conference and a protest, and they put the experiment on hiatus. But now next year, they're going to do the experiment again in Sweden. And they're going to spray with Bill Gates and these atmospheric scientists to save the world from global warming. They're going to spray aluminum in the atmosphere, and they're going to pretend like they've never done that before. And these constituents are coming up in our rainwater, and they're in the patents, and we know that they're doing it. Like, we've come to the conclusion over years, because those crazy lines in the sky, some rain will fall, people will test the rain, and it's got like a million times more aluminum than it should. It's like, okay, well, what was in those lines was aluminum. You know, like, people have been able to narrow it down.
Is that why water quality has gotten so much worse over the last three decades? Four decades?
Well, water quality... I think the water, the whole water story is a mismanagement of it.
Oh, okay.
Like, we've got like beautiful, pristine, like volcanoes with snow melting off of it. And these rivers are like going in the ocean, and then they're taking our toilet water and they're recycling it. We've got rivers just going right by us. We're just not being smart. Like, we're leaving everything in the government's hands. And even like our local water resources, they're like saying that we don't have enough water for this irrigation canals around here. We got a river that just goes right in the ocean. Like, they're just, everyone's being duped into this like global warming, climate change. And it seems like maybe, I hope God they don't do this, but it seems like maybe they're gonna do global warming, climate change lockdowns. Because right when we went into the first lockdown, the COVID lockdown, they stopped chemtrailing for like a month. And a lot of people were hitting me up. They're like, is it over, Matt? Is it over? Like, blue, beautiful blue skies, beautiful this. And the rising temperatures of the planet ceased because they say we weren't out driving our cars. But it's because they weren't spraying the geoengineering. They want to create a greenhouse effect to supposedly bounce sunlight out into space and dim the how much sun we get. But they're going to create a greenhouse effect by trapping the heat in. That's what they are doing. Sorry, I'm on a tangent, but you know.
Oh, no, I love it.
It's unreal. It's good.
It's unreal. And one last thing on the whole like left-right paradigm of the blue-red Biden-Trump nonsense is they made Trump seem like such a loon. And then the election was probably obviously rigged to make the whole country think, oh, wow, everyone's blue. Everyone's blue. Wow.
That'll get you banned off social media too, just saying that.
Yeah, no kidding, man. So
you can't question it.
If everybody thinks that the group consciousness is overwhelmingly blue, and then this blue idiot Biden is like, everybody get the jab. We got, which one you want? You want this one. We got a Russian one. We got AstraZeneca, blah, 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 blah. They all came out at once, and we didn't do any human trials, but guess what? We'll alter your mRNA, and you got to get updates, and who knows what happens. But like, people are just taking it out of what? Fear and hatred for Trump. Like, it's really psychological, and we'll look back at this point in history. Oh, man, I really hope we don't. But we'll look back at this with, like, disgust. And I mean, it's just, like, a lot of people lined up for an experiment that we don't even know the outcome. So right. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Anyway, where were you guys at? Because you guys cut out, and I didn't hear shit.
Tell you exactly where we were.
All right, just start back up, and I can snip everything together.
So why don't you go back to the first, why don't you go back to before we got to Elon, Mr. fucking Musk, why don't you go back to what you were talking about in the first Arnold Schwarzenegger event before he becomes governor, and then go into Total Recall, and then go into that one.
Yeah, so I think it's really fascinating how the programming has literally attacked people one generation at a time. So even in 1990, I've been going back and looking at these older films and dissecting the propaganda machine, see the writing on the wall, even the movie Handmaid's Tale. Once you understand 5G and GMO and like the dismantling of the alpha male and what they're really trying to go for, it seems like infertility. Maybe this is what the mRNA alteration is. And maybe that's, I struck a nerve earlier when I was talking about certain things. It was interesting when it sometimes you say sometimes you say certain things, and I swear, like I've been on Skype before, which is Microsoft, and I was talking total shit about Bill Gates, and then all of a sudden it's just cut off. And I'm like, okay, is that a coincidence? I don't know. But either way, the propaganda machine. It's unreal when you start to see it through the right lens, because these are movies when I saw growing up, I thought nothing of it. Of course. So there's like Geostorm, and we were.
Well, but why would you back then? We weren't nearly to the point that we are now to have to look back at that in hindsight and see where they were headed with it.
Yeah, which is interesting to see how everyone else is being blindsided by
like
the
in present, yeah,
and brainwashed, and it's easy to point the finger and be like, why aren't you awake, don't you see it? But also we were there with them, mm-hmm, and it wasn't that long ago. So like the film Geostorm, for instance, this is a propaganda piece, and I even typed in, I was looking to see if my film was even anywhere on YouTube after they pulled my channel, and it is, but you can't find it, Frankenskies. But find it at frankenskiesthemovie.com or frankenskies.com, and frankenskies2.com will host the sequel, Climate Chains, which I'm still working on. But I went into YouTube and I typed in geoengineering documentary, and the movie Geostorm pops up, and this is not a documentary. And what it is an AI takeover, and it controls the weather, this artificial intelligence, and the computer machine has controlled the weather, and it creates these extreme weather events, hurricanes and what have you, and floods, destroys humanity. And then you walk out of the theater and then you hear some crazy nut like me saying the weather's controlled, and you're like, no, that's actually a conspiracy crazy movie, I saw it on TV. But then anything they do short of that is somehow acceptable, because people have been conditioned to this extreme reality. In the, like, when you sit down in the movie theater and you pay, you're like arm and a leg now, like you're $35 or whatever to watch a movie. I'm just kidding. But if you're even allowed to sit in a theater, but you literally, it's called a temporary suspension of disbelief. You sit down and like anything kind of goes, and you kind of believe it. Your brain believes it's true. And the way that you process that memory is that it's not true, and it never could be true. And it's such a programming mess what they do to the mind, the mental constructs, because now you've got this polarity like we're talking about earlier, fake and real. What's fake? What's real? I was hanging out with a five-year-old recently, and she kept saying, is it fake or is it real, Matt? Like the chemtrails, the vaccines, and the propaganda, you know? Is this, you know, because that's how they see things in black and white. So,
and if you tell them that it's real or fake, that's what they believe for like a long time until they can think for themselves.
No kidding. So the propaganda machine produced with all this budget and malintent, the movie Demolition Man. Okay. And you've got this superhero, and they predict Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming the governor of California. But in the film, Sylvester Stallone, for one, there's social distancing. And they have sex 6 feet apart with these little head things that they put on. But also, there's self-driving cars. There's all this weird dystopian future. And it starts to like unravel this. Wait, are they showing you the future that they want to create and making you okay with it because it's in your memory bank as like just a film? So then I started dissecting 1990 film. Well, Handmaid's Tale is unreal. All of a sudden, nobody can have kids. And it's like, well, 5G apocalypse with mRNA alterations that seem to be targeting, you know, fertility of a dystopian future, like Children of Men, Handmaid's Tale.
Well, and we're getting by scientists to a point where they're saying we're now 1 billion people away from hitting kind of the ceiling on what they believe can the Earth can actually handle for an ongoing time period, 9 billion. Yeah, I don't know whether that's true.
Propaganda. That's all GMO propaganda and shit. They want us to think that we have such limited resources and that we need to kill each other off, and that it's okay to die off from geoengineering and whatnot. So the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Total Recall, 1990. All right. 1990, Arnold Schwarzenegger thinks he's going to go to Mars, but he doesn't. He actually gets the memory put in his head, and he's got some transhumanism kind of brain thing going on where a chip can just get put in there. And he buys it. He pays for the memory. And he becomes it's a superhero memory, and he's this like secret agent, and he never really goes to Mars. It's questionable if you can even go to Mars. The maybe the whole thing is just fabricated in the film. There's terrorism in this 1990 film, which terrorism in general didn't really exist as we know it back then. And it's all this dystopian future fear and then the Mars thing. Well, here we have Elon Musk now. He's got a company called Neuralink where he wants to be able to insert chips into people's brains and whatnot for PTSD, false memories, or whatever. And he has SpaceX, and he shot a convertible into space that was totally nonsense, right? It had a mannequin. Did you guys see this a few years back? And he says, quote, it's so fake that it must be real. You know, it's literally testing the bullshit meter of humanity, right? I think even when they started coming out with anal swabs, that was testing the bullshit meter of humanity, right? It's like, okay, let's see how far we can actually push this. Like, literally, can we push it up their ass? And people were like, fuck that, you know? Like, people did not like that, and it kind of, like, dwindled away. But there's a supercomputer that they're feeding in all this COVID nonsense and what have you. So either way, we've got Elon Musk. So don't let me digress. Elon Musk with the – So we've got Elon Musk with his fake convertible testing the consciousness of humanity. How dumb are they? And then NASA all of a sudden goes to Mars with propellers and drones that are like made on Earth, and it looks so fake that it must be real. And what, are we going to end up going to Mars? And are people really going to go to Mars? Or are they just going to get the chips in their head? Because this whole Mars thing with NASA and their lies, their bucket of lies for $52 million a day, the whole Elon Musk thing and the NASA thing and the Mars thing is literally a transhumanism agenda. It's full-scale New World Order, full-scale transhumanism, and it's tricking people to get these upgrades that will be necessary, transhumanism upgrades, that will be necessary to go to Mars. And guess what? They probably won't ever leave. They'll just get a little chip in their head, just like we were told in a Schwarzenegger film 30 freaking years ago. But no, that can't be real because that's sci-fi, right?
Well, it's very Matrix-esque, I guess, to get that. I mean, we have all this energy. They could put this chip in our head and send us wherever they want. We'll think we're there, just like in the Matrix, but we're just in some little sack creating energy for them, and they can get enough people to do it.
Turning a human being into a D-cell.
Yeah, well, that's if you look into singularity and what they want out of everybody, they kind of do want that. Their end game is to scare the shit out of everybody so much, so bad, that everybody is locked inside and we have avatars going out into the world, like doing our bidding. We're just in, like, kind of like, have you guys ever been around kids that are on this new thing called Roblox?
Oh, yeah.
We have
kids. I got one.
It's a virtual world, and the place is so addictive. Like, if they build a snowman, it's there, dude, and they can show their friends and buy it and sell it. And it's just like, it's...
Minecraft is even worse for that kind of thing. I have actually looked into both of those. So Minecraft is where you create your own sandbox, but you can invite other people to see it if you allow them to. Roblox is a player creator sandbox, but it's not all at the same time. So, like, you can ask basically the sandbox creators, hey, I have this game. Can I use your sandbox? Then they approve it, they send it out, and now you can enjoy the game or somebody else's game in the same way. However, I'm digressing. It is very addictive. I have an almost 9-year-old that plays it. It's bullshit.
Well, that's how my daughter hangs out with her friends. So even when they're sitting next to each other, they're hanging out in their virtual world together doing that instead of playing in the real world doing that. They'd rather be in their fake world hanging out, and it's disgusting. I'm like, nope, down,
turn off.
Get the fuck outside and breathe the smoky Northern California air like everybody else.
Good for you. Good for you. I've witnessed the exact same thing. And I mean, their friends are doing it, and they'll freak out if they can't have their Roblox right. time. So you have to basically be on it and only give them a certain amount of time. Right. And then, I mean, and the way that they have, like, that you can earn your points and make your money and then have your Roblox money and then actually, like I saw – so my girlfriend's daughter, who is 9, I saw her interact with one of her schoolmates, and she was like, hey – I need to buy your car. Can you just sell it to me for really cheap so I can get across town? And then I'll sell it back to you for really cheap. And then, you know, no harm is done. So she sold her this car for like $1 so she could drive down the street in this VR world. So extrapolate that like 10 years. What are these kids going to be doing? They're going to have virtual reality headsets.
It's going to be player one.
Oh, it's going to be so deep in it that they're going to lose their social skills. The social engineering of social distancing alone got everybody in the virtual world. Oh man, I can't even.
You know what's funny though? All of us virtually at the same time, us three, we all kind of around the same time watched Player One. And I remember we had a conversation about it after that. You know, did you watch Player One? I know that Joe and I share the sentiments. I'm pretty sure, Jen, that you shared the same thing. But part of us were like, dude, with where this world is going, I almost kind of would rather be that just because of how fucked up everything's getting. Like, you mean I can stay home and at any time, if I don't like somebody's fucking face, I can just unplug? Yeah, I actually kind of like that idea. At the same time, though, morally, I completely, completely agree with what you're talking about, because that's exactly where it's headed, where nothing is real. Everything that gets updated in the game is all being fed to you by people who are controlling you to keep you in the game.
What makes me distrust it is the fact that they're pushing it so hard and making it seem so desirable, like you said, where you're like, that sounds fucking amazing. That's what makes me go, wait a minute, there's something wonky going on here.
No way. I tell Maddie all the time, because people will say, how can we keep our kids from falling into this trap? Like, their schools are teaching them this stuff. This is all they're subject to. They see this all day. When they come home, their just faces are in their devices. But
and
we just talk to them all the time. Yeah, but we just talk to them all the time. Just, we can't fix everything, but we have to keep on it. You can't be lazy about it. You can't just let them, like, go do their own thing in this particular time. You can, but just also say, hey, let's think about it this way. Let's try to critically think about what's really going on here. This virtual world is going to become a reality someday, and you have to be able to say no to that at some point, I hope.
Well, imagine when they started having everyone wear masks, and some people, they lost all their social life, and the only way they could even see a human face was through a virtual world. That's already so dismantling, and like a full-on year of that, it's unreal. I want to say hats off to you awesome parents for giving a shit. It's so important. And I've given this so much deep thought about where we're going with humanity. And there are children in the world right now that have parents like you all, like us, that are saying to the children as they grow up, no, it's actually bullshit. Nope, take that mask off. Nope, blah, blah, blah. No, go outside and run around. And imagine the fire that's going to be under these activist children, starseed, whatever you want to call them, when they get to of age and they know that the world around them is completely bogus, and they see these people that are literally turning themselves into robots because the new liberal politician said, oh, you got to get the robotic eye too, you know? they're seeing through all of it, right? And in a world of Idiocracy, right, if you've seen that one.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! It's like
they're literally going to be the Phoenix. These kids, it's so unreal to predict, to see where it's going, because we have to literally set the stage for them so that they have a stage to fight. You know,
I think
have to lay the groundwork. Yeah.
I think that's actually part of the how important last year was, because last year was devastating on so many levels. But the important thing out of that was that for the first time that I remember in my life, you could see the bullshit happening real time in front of your face. Whereas in the past, it was masked, it was weeded in here and there. And if you weren't really honing in on it and paying attention, you could miss it very, very easily. Last year was so in your face that I've seen, and it's part, you know, obviously part of it is why we have the division that we have, is because a lot of people that hadn't seen the bullshit or had let it slip by, kind of, you know, aloof, they're now looking at it and they're being forced to make hard decisions that they may not have really wanted to make. And they're going, no, I don't want any part of that. My last straw was that last year I had gone back down to Lemoore, Naval Air Station. And I was down there and I remember after 3 months, I had been up in Reading when a Rona broke out because they closed the schools. And I said, fuck this. I'm going up north back to my home. And when we got back down there, especially living on base, especially not being in Jefferson State, there were masks everywhere. You couldn't take a shit without having a mask on. Well, what lost it for
it's
me
probably
was
the best time to wear one, actually.
It's probably the best time to wear one, actually. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, let's not talk about that. So I was walking into a gas station, and at this time, my daughter had just turned 2, and my son was 7.5. So as we're walking into an on-base federal like gas station, they call it the Mini Next or the Jet Mart, we're walking in, and as we get out of the car, my daughter goes, Mac? Daddy, Mac, and points at her face and says her word for mask. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, shit, I do have to put one on her to go in there. And then it started mulling around. I'm like, dude, my two-year-old in like a month of being down here and forced to wear a mask when we go into stores has already conditioned herself that when she gets out of the car, she has to put a mask on and she has to go into the gas station with a mask on. That was, for me, that was the moment where I officially turned everything in my brain off to the masks. And I went, look, I understand why people would theorize that this is a good reason, but it's not. At all. And this is the kind of psychological damage that they did to kids that last year was astronomical. It is just unbelievable how in your face what they did last year and everything that's coming out of it was. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
No kidding. And once you start to really, I started digging into it because everyone was being handed these blue one-time use medical masks. Yeah. And I started to question the crap out of that. Like, they're one-time use medical masks. They don't even filter viruses or anything like that. So I researched it. It's really easy to find out what the filters are in these blue and white one-time use medical masks. It's polytetrafluoroethylene, PTFE. You can just type into your search engine PTFE masks. And these blue masks they hand you at the doors from China at the grocery store. Not anymore, hopefully, in your state or whatever. Oh, I really want to talk about how it's different everywhere. But either way, I'll get to that. The polytetrafluoroethylene, it's synthetic Teflon, which is fluoride. So it's literally a fluoride mask that they're having you huff through and saying, oh, don't worry, everything will be okay. Just breathe through this. It's a total toxic invasion. Even the hand sanitizers, a lot of them have hormone-disrupting chemicals that over time will make your hormones, so your endocrine system, especially children, so disrupted that you might be questioning your sexuality and it's also a transhumanism pacification agenda. So something I want to note right now, which is very fascinating, everywhere is different. The state that you're in, the county that you're in, the city that you're in. If you're in Japan, it's a full-on lockdown, and the Olympics aren't letting anybody in. They're doing the Olympics without a crowd. That's happening
right
now.
It's so stupid. I saw that the other day.
And that's the Delta variant that's doing it. If you're in UK or New Zealand or Australia, there's some pretty severe lockdowns going on because of the new Delta variant, okay? And they're being pushed the hardest, right? Yeah, the quote-unquote Delta variant. It's all nonsense. We all know it. There's one thing that I could talk about where there was this conspiracy at first that everyone thought it was like 5G, but that was like a propaganda machine to make everybody seem crazy. But there is an interesting correlation that I witnessed through my company. But I just want to note really quick. So how would you, as a New World Order regime, try to dismantle the all of humanity to push your New World Order agenda without getting everybody to fight back under one theme, which is like humanity, right? Well, you do things differently everywhere. So if we were all being told we got to wear masks, we got to lock down, then we could all be like, fuck that shit. We're not wearing masks. We're not doing that. But it's different. It's like, no, in Idaho, it's this. And over here, it's that. And over here, it's like, oh, I'll just move to Florida. And oh, wait, you can't go to Japan. And oh, they're not. Oh, it's okay. So we can't get on the same page. We're all being subject to the same nonsense, but different ways, under different guises, and they lock down the borders and blah, 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 defund the police, whatever it is, everybody's being subject to the same new world order takeover, but they're doing it differently everywhere so that we can't, you know, rally together. And I have this suspicion that maybe they'll end up trying to get us to wear masks again, but they'll do it in a way that they get us to fight back, and they'll be like even maybe controlled, aggressive, like figures in it all. And there's going to be a fight that we can't win. And I think they're trying to stage that because they know that if they tell us to put, because now that they've taken it, given it back, it's all such a psychological warfare manipulation tactic. And I'm very curious to see what happens in the upcoming fall, winter, and all this stuff.
Oh yeah, I think just they gave it confusion back. Tactics. Yeah,
well, I think they gave it back to give everyone a little dose of freedom before the school year starts, because they're going to start requiring vaccine passports, and so they're letting the rest of the summer play out because people are like, "Yes, this is awesome. CDC says we don't have to wear masks, so I don't have to now because I listen to them." Good for you.
Yeah.
Fuck off. But like, I think they're going to let us do that for a little bit and then say, your kids don't have to wear masks at school. Did you see that California just flipped their whole idea on what they were going to do with masks? They were going to still require masks at schools. And then they just flipped it and said, oh no, each state can handle, or each county can handle it their own way. So we're curious to see how Shasta County will handle it. But they could say, yeah, you don't have to wear a mask, but you have to show your vaccine card because you have to prove that your children are vaccinated at schools anyway. So it's pretty normal. So they can just weed it in that way. Like, oh, well, you already have to show that they have that MMR and DTaP. And then they just did the TDAP for seventh graders a couple years ago. That was like a brand new thing. And so they can be like, well, now it's COVID, so you have to show that too. And then they can't wear masks or can't even go. I'm nervous for that to happen because they did the TDAP right when Maddie started here in California, my daughter, and she was like, oh, okay, I have to get the shot, and it was 5 years ago, so I was like, okay, let's go get it, and we did because she had to go to school here. So I think that's what's coming.
And in some places, just to interject really quick, some places they say, oh well, if you're vaccinated then you don't have to wear the mask, so then you have this weird social pressure. There's this weird social pressure. Well, oh, well, show us your proof. And oh, and so if everyone at school is coming and running around with their faces out and you're the black sheep with the mask on because you haven't gotten the jab, yep, and everyone's pressuring you and saying, oh, actually, you don't need parental consent anymore. Just come on in here, Susie. It's totally messed up and diabolical. And
I ran into that for the first time yesterday. So being up here in more of a red state portion, haven't had to wear a mask. They haven't been asking people at doors ever since they officially said in California on June 15th, like, okay, you guys can take your mask off, right? But, you know, if you're not vaccinated, we recommend that you wear it. They haven't been doing that up here. Well, yesterday I had to go into an attorney's office. And when I called ahead of time to drop off the paperwork, she's like, and are you vaccinated? And I'm like, nope, sure not.
Nope.
She goes, yeah, sure won't be either. And she goes, okay, well, you know, we ask that you wear a mask in here. So I was all, let's test that. So I walked in without a mask, give her my paperwork. Nobody in there's wearing a mask. And she goes, so when you come in to see the attorney next week, she was like, if you're not vaccinated, you know, wear a mask. She'll probably tell you just to take it off and stuff. And I was all, yeah, you had said that. I have one in my back pocket just in case you guys really were, you know, wanted me to. But I'm not going to wear one in on default. So she's like, yeah, no, that's fine. She probably won't even make it. Like, everybody up here that has forced people to wear a mask, they're also like almost very apologetic about it for the most part. There are very few places that are like, no, you actually need it. If you're not getting a vaccine, you really need it. I'm like, no, sure don't.
So really quick, I want to talk about, because I think it's really important information, when all of this started to unravel, there was this conspiracy that went viral that it was actually 5G that was making people sick. And then it got kind of twisted on its head. And anybody who thought that was like a crazy conspiracy theorist, that how could it actually be 5G, that it's not 5G, it's COVID, and you're stupid. Well, I did witness something which is very fascinating, and it's this company that I have. So when I first started learning about EMF radiation and smart meters and 5G and all that, I started making these silver line clothes, and now the company is a few years alive and well, and it's getting really innovative and changing into this amazing. I mean, it's just blossoming. It's like having a baby. So I started off making these Faraday foam bags. So if you see, if you're watching the video, but either way, it's a bag, and then you drop your phone inside. I have this old phone, but either way, a smartphone works. You drop your phone in the bag, and you close it up, and it doesn't have any signal inside the foam bag. It's a silver layer of silver fabric, all right? And I was selling these like crazy, and people were really happy to just have privacy or when they go to bed or whatever. It's pretty much like turning your phone off, but sometimes when your phone's off, it's still tracking and whatever. And now it's COVID tracking and tracing and whatnot. People just want that extra privacy, security, whatever. So right when COVID started to happen in March of 2020, right? All of a sudden, people are contacting me from Flint, Michigan, Fort Lauderdale, LA. All of a sudden, their phone bags are not working. They worked before, and all of a sudden, they weren't anymore. And I was scrambling to figure out what the heck was going on, and people were really upset with me. And I ended up making double-layered bags. So, and then I sent everyone double-layered bags, and they were all happy because they worked. Well, what happened there? I started to wonder, and I was hypothesizing and whatnot. And then someone hit me up from DC where I grew up, and they said, "Hey, Matt, guess what? I had COVID. I saw you on Facebook saying that COVID wasn't real, and you're full of it, and I had it, and I just want to let you know that I had it." And I was like, "Okay, well, tell me about it. I want to know. I'm totally all ears, you know? Like, I thought that it was just rebranding the flu, but I want to know, like, you got COVID? Like, what were your symptoms? Like, tell me the story." And he's like, "Well, it was really weird. I didn't get a fever. I didn't have any virus-type symptoms, but I had this, like, brain fog. I couldn't think very clearly, and I lost my sense of taste." I was like, "Yes, yeah, that's a common COVID-19 symptom, right?" Yeah. Well, guess what? I asked him, "Well, can I just ask you another random question? What kind of phone do you have, for crying out loud?" Because I'm asking everybody whose phone bags are not working, like, what kind of phone do they have, you know? What's the deal with, why are the phones, like, blasting all this extra radiation than they weren't before? He goes, "Well, funny you ask. Me and my wife just got the new iPhone, brand new iPhone 11 or whatever." And I go, "Well, when did you start getting your COVID symptoms?" And he says, "Well, the day we got the new phones, actually." So I was like, "Okay, well, would you ever consider that loss of taste and brain fog are actually symptoms of radiation sickness, radiation poisoning, and that your phone is cranking so much radiation that your body had to take a couple of weeks to get used to it and adjust to it, and that a lot of people's smartphones out there are adapting to a new 5G broadband spectrum, and to do that, it's got to crank out way more radiation than before. So once you start to learn about 5G, it's a totally new network, but basically the phones have to help push the signal along, and it's not the same as before where you just have your stuff going to the closest cell tower. You're literally pushing this signal along that can only go like 500 feet or 1,000 feet. It's really strong signal, but it can't go very far because it's based on the size of the carrier wave. But this carrier wave is so small that it's not like an AM radio wave that can go 1,000 or 100 miles or whatever. It can only go like 1,000 feet, literally, this 5G tech. So now they have all the smartphones, all the smart tech pushing the signal along, but it equates to having a lot more radiation coming out of the smartphones, a lot more, okay? And then these 5G cities were COVID hotspots, and it seems to me that if these phones penetrating these bags where they never penetrated before, that they must be emitting a lot more radiation. So having to double the bags up to keep them from penetrating the bags, and at the same time, people having symptoms that seem to maybe not be a virus, because who gets a virus and just loses sense of taste? This has never happened before ever in history, right?
Well, I got a follow-up question for you that I want to see if you have a theory on. So January 2020, my ex-wife left for her first deployment, and she was gone until July. So and there's all the kind of theories that everybody got it around December and January, and then, you know, it got popular. A lot of people, where she was at on the ship, there was no signal, 4G, there was no cell signal out there. And her ship was the one that docked in Guam. And they fired their captain, who got national attention and all of that stuff. A whole bunch of people got COVID and a whole bunch of people didn't. But one of the things that she mentioned was that for all of these people that got it in no cell signal, they weren't around anybody, they were just emitting this virus, which they're assuming they got from Da Nang, Vietnam, was when the first two cases came back on the boat, was after a 2-day stay there, that they were losing sense of taste and sense of smell. Now, the crazy part was, is that some of the people that she worked with when she left for her second deployment last November, they still hadn't regained it. So they weren't around any of those kind of emissions in the middle of the Pacific, but a whole shitload of the crew, I think it was about 20%, ended up getting COVID. Obviously, there's, you know, everything about how many actually had it, false positives and all that. But assuming that some people actually got the virus, they lost their sense of taste and smell and then never regained it. Do you have any kind of theory on that, or do you think it might be something similar? Are you fully on the board with the virus being a complete bogus or maybe half bogus, you know, and they amplified it? What's your take on that?
Before you answer that, there's also the, it's the first time in history when you can have a virus and not know unless you get a mouth or a nose swab. Like, that's another part of it.
So in the 1960s in the USSR, there was American diplomats. And the Soviet government started experimenting on the American diplomats with low-level RF radiation, radio frequency radiation, which you can use like radar, which I'm sure the ship was equipped with radar, which is a lot of radiation and what have you. So the U.S. government found out that the Soviets were experimenting on their people. So what they did is they went in and they said, they got all the people, the diplomats, and they said, we're going to start giving you a bunch of bonus pay to be in this harmless little test thing. They didn't tell them shit about the radiation. They didn't tell them anything about what was really going on.
Yeah,
they started
harmless.
They started to give them freaking hazard pay. And they watched as these people lost hair, lost fertility, got cancer, American citizens. Okay, so the U.S. government, man, like, at the end of the day, I would say probably, cell service or not, that there was probably some exposure to RF radiation of some sort. But also, I'm not saying that there wasn't any sicknesses or anything. I think just about everything was rebranded as COVID, like the flu,
absolutely,
the common cold, pneumonia. Yeah. I mean, anything.
Joe and Jen said it early on. You can't get normal sick anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if that whole ship came down with any sickness during that time frame, but the fact that they lost their sense of taste is it's very curious. I find it very curious. I couldn't say without having enough information.
Sure.
But I mean, if there's a global elite trying to confuse the shit out of everyone and somehow push this whole narrative, then they start with like these little cells of, oh, is there an outbreak here, an outbreak there, or whatever. You know, there's the Carnival cruise ship off the coast of San Francisco for a while. And then there were conspiracy surfacing that there's 5G on the ship. I can't corroborate that. But I would not put it beyond the U.S. military industrial complex to crank up 5G experimentation on blah, 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 and then be like, oh, I don't know what happened. These people all got sick. You know what I mean?
Well,
some crazy virus.
For sure. It's like civilian casualties. They're like, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Whatever cost. We just want to find out what happens.
Makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. She ended up finding out when she got back last year, barely set foot back on land, that Coronado Island, which has one of the big actually naval yards where a lot of ships poured out of, that they were forcing the corpsmen on the base to go through with preemptive vaccine experiment because by 2021 they had wanted to completely roll it out military wide. And so these poor, you know, 18, 19 year olds serving their country, we're basically being told like, yeah, you're getting the vaccine because you're our puppet for 4 years. You don't really have a say on it. And we need to know if this works or not. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was something of that nature, regardless of my question as to the 5G and her deployment prior to that.
If they already got the jab and they showed symptoms of That's another Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution. It's like, right. Oh, where did that come from? I don't know.
Oh, we don't know.
I've been doing a lot of amazing research because there's so many books that surfaced recently about like terrain and germ theory. And it's like, okay, well, anybody can make a buck off of a plandemic, right? But I went back to Beauchamp and Pasteur, and Pasteur defamed Beauchamp, this French doctor who was anti-vaccines. And Pasteur was like, look, we got to boil everything, pasteurize everything. There's germs in everything. You're all going to get sick. We got to inject you with inoculations and all this. But since the turn of the century, there were very bright minds. Beauchamp being the genius, and Pasteur like demonizing him, defaming him. But Beauchamp basically proved that all these ailments were coming from the injections, that they were creating these things from the get-go and then being like, oh, where did they come from? We got to give you more injections, you know?
That it hasn't stopped either. I mean, with all the variants we were talking about, like the Delta variant didn't show up till there was so many people vaccinated. So that's kind of, it's like, is it a Delta variant of this virus was a year and a half ago? Or is it the shit you keep sticking in people? Like, what makes more sense to you?
Yeah,
but
I
nothing makes sense. So.
Totally demonize the cold. Like, you can't even be sick. They're like, oh my God, you have COVID symptoms. And it's like, whoa, this was just a cold 2 years ago, and I would have been told to come to work or I would be getting fired. Like, come on now. Now I have to, like, stay home for 2 weeks, wear a mask, get a shot. It's crazy.
I feel like this isn't an original. Go ahead, sorry.
Did anybody die? Does anybody know anybody that died?
No,
still to this day, I don't.
Well, no. And the deaths that you hear, they all have comorbidities. Everyone. They were very overweight or very unhealthy or very elderly. There's no way. I don't know any perfectly.
So I do know a lot of people that tested positive, my grandma being one of them. And she did die, but not from that. She died a couple weeks ago from being fucking old.
She didn't test positive for COVID recently.
No,
either.
Yeah, it was a year ago or something. Yeah. But and she had dementia. There's a lot of other shit. But who else tested positive? There's a couple
other
people.
Both of my grandparents tested positive. They're in nursing facilities.
And they're old as shit,
too. They're totally fine.
And they're fine. Well, they're still alive, yeah.
And Katie saw her squadron was the one that got hit the hardest on the boat. Her aircraft carrier, 5,500 people. And roughly 1,200, 1,300 of those people got tested positive. And her squadron, out of a squadron of 300, almost 200 of them tested positive. Now, the one thing that she saw was that the only person who died, which they attributed to COVID, was a 40-year-old chief who, in his COVID barracks on Guam in isolation, had drank a lot and forgot that he had taken his heart medication, so he doubled down on his heart medication.
He had heart conditions too. Like he had pre-existing conditions.
But that's a COVID death.
He had pre-existing heart conditions, which he took heart medication for. He had taken one, drank a lot, which you're not supposed to do with heart medication, and because he drank a lot, forgot he had taken it and took another one, and they found him dead in the morning and told everybody that it was COVID. The only reason she found out that it wasn't is because his roommate, the night he died, was one of her shop coworkers. And I'm like, but of course they're going to say, oh, we took all the precautions that we could and we only had one death from COVID. It's like, no, you had zero. You had zero from COVID. You had an idiot 40-year-old who drank too much and took too much heart medication. That's what you had.
Do you know anyone who died from COVID? Do you know anyone who even had COVID besides the guy you mentioned? But do you know anyone who you saw have COVID actively?
No, where I live, everyone was wearing masks until they were told that they could take them off, and now everyone's not wearing masks, and they act like that something has ended, like the body bags are off the streets, and we're the light is at the end of the tunnel. But literally 2 weeks ago, or 2 months ago, or 6 months ago, we were in the same exact environment, but it's just the propaganda machine. It's really unreal. And if they can get away with that, imagine what else they could possibly get away with if they really wanted to dismantle humanity even further. I think they've gotten what they wanted, and I think long term people are just gonna have to keep getting these updates, or their immune system might not work. You know, they're immunocompromised now. They need the second, third, and fourth, and fifth in the series or whatever. And here we are. But back to chemtrails. The thing that blows my mind is that all of these extreme weather events that are happening, they won't say it out loud, that they're going to geoengineer and dim the sun with chemtrails. They say, we need a solution. What are we going to do about this? How can humanity save itself and all these things? But soon the narrative will shift, and soon they'll be posing this drastic solution that's backed by Biden. It's our last resort. And what are we going to do? If you've seen all of these like dystopia films, there's one called Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Oh, we saw that.
I love that one.
Great movie.
Unreal. And what happens is they're trying to slow down global warming. They spray chemtrails with planes. They do it too much. They go into an ice age. Everyone on Earth dies except for everybody on this train. The train's going all fast around the Earth. It starts off spraying chemtrails and saying the exact scenario that we're putting ourselves in. But because it's a dystopian sci-fi film, people don't even see the writing on the wall. It's almost like a warning. It's almost like, hey, we told you so. Either you fight it or not. It's up to you, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. That was a great movie, but it was creepy as shit.
We didn't watch it when we still had like the veil over our eyes a little bit. Like we were open-minded, but we weren't like paying attention that much. We watched it and we're like,
that movie. Came out in 2013.
Yeah, but we just watched it like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, we didn't watch it then. We watched it together. So it was like recent, but it wasn't that recent, I guess. But we didn't know. And there's a lot of stuff that people didn't notice until very recently, and the veil gets lifted and then nothing looks the same again. And then you're a fucking crazy person to literally everyone you talk to.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So that is also, by the way, it's on Netflix right now. If you have Netflix, they also made a show, which is still airing. There's 23 episodes based on Snowpiercer from 2013. I haven't seen the show though, but I'm kind of hoping when I do watch it, that it extrapolates off of the premise of the 2013 one and gets a little bit more detailed. Anyway.
Hell yeah. Our stream is amazing right now, so I want to close out on a good note because it was utter dog shit the whole time. So I'm probably just not going to do live streams anymore. I'll just record video because this seems to do weird things to everything, especially if we're live. And I think putting Matt Landman's name in the title fucked us up, so fuck you, buddy. I'm just kidding.
No, every single time you said something very pertinent for us, it was like fucked up.
I've had nothing but nonstop problems on my end, and this happens, whatever.
No, it's all good. You just get too close to the truth and they fuck with you.
Yeah, as soon as you started saying some weird shit, our audio was like, it was doing weird shit. So hopefully I can fix that on the audio end, but you know. So,
well, we'll end the stream, we'll end the stream, but we'll still talk.
But give the people a plug where they can find you. I know Janet in the chat wants to have you on her show. I don't know if you've heard of Deplorable Janet, but she's got a great show too, and she's definitely going to want to have you on, so she'll probably reach out.
Yeah, please contact me, anybody. I reply to my emails at frankenskies, F-R-A-N-K-E-N, skies, S-K-I-E-S, at gmail.com. I'm still on Gmail. Like everyone says, get on Proton, get on Telegram and all this. And I am segueing to all that stuff. But dude, if I'm hiding, they're gonna know what I'm doing anyways. I'm just I'm completely fearless when it comes to all this. And there's nothing to hide from. Like I'm just spreading truth, right? So truth is a frequency. And once you start to ride that vibration, that tune, that frequency of truth, other truths become self-evident because they're on that same vibration of truth. So chemtrails is that amazing like gateway drug to all the other truths. If you can open your eyes to chemtrails, that they're real, that there's a weather engineering program, that the veil is over everyone's eyes on it, nobody knows that we can just make it rain, although they make it rain for ski resorts and hydro plants, and PG&E can make it rain for their hydro plants, but no one can put the puzzle pieces together that drought is manufactured engineered, because everyone says the textbook, well, why would they do that to us? And I've heard that now a million times, and it's like, wait a second, why do you say the same exact engineered socially programmed thing? You know, why don't you think outside the box and think, whoa, that's interesting. You know, you have a documentary on it, sure, I'll watch your movie. So please, frankenskiesthemovie.com, also actualactivists.com, and Matt Landman on Facebook. I'm censored on there, but still I got 55,000 followers, and I like to dump truth bombs and make memes and get it out there best way we can. And what's amazing is the censorship is making everybody awesome. So they censor, and then people have to get creative and make satires and outwit the AI, and it's actually keeping us on our toes. And the more the dark tries to mess with us, the more that we actually shine even brighter. So It's all, we're all going to get through this. It's amazing. And thank you so much for having me on. And I hope that we can do it again. And sorry about the glitches. I hope it's not my fault.
Oh, no. It's my fault 100%. I'm a retard.
It's but, the government's fault for not wanting to hear the truth. Yeah, get it out exactly. there.
But no,
not your
think
fault.
Next time, I do definitely want to go into some deeper shit next time, but I want to do it kind of offline. I mean, offline. It's going to be on Zoom, but non-streaming to see if that works better and what we can...
We'll see.
It drives me nuts because I'm trying to have this conversation. Instead, I'm fucking with all this stuff.
I know.
Sorry, listeners. God damn it. But thanks, Matt, for coming on, and we'll definitely get together with you again soon, because that was awesome. I love it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Stick around after we end the stream, though, because I'll say goodbye to you.
Cool.
Thanks, everyone in the chat, for joining us for the live stream and our fuckery. It's stupid, but thank you.
We'll fix it.
We'll fix
it
at some point.
It'll be better next time. Woo!
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.